Okay. That's a load of crap, by the way, that song, just so that you know. Happiness, happiness, and all that. I listened to it during the week, and I had one of them, you know, them feather duster things. And I thought I would put in a set of buck teeth tonight and come up, you know, and do it, you know. But I thought, yeah, we'll just stick to the song. But happiness, happiness, isn't that an incredible thing to be thinking about this evening? Let me just pray before I share from God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've sang that song, Lord God, and that's all nonsense, but the songs before were beautiful because, Lord, they just led us right into your presence as we praised and worshipped you and as we just enjoyed, Lord God, loving you and being loved by you. And tonight, Lord God, again, we ask that you would help us to humble ourselves before you and under your word tonight, and that you would speak to us through your living and active word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week in our series, What in This Broken World is Happening, it was about sickness, if you can remember. And we learned that more than 95% of the world's population, this isn't me making these figures up, this was a global study on sickness. More than 95% of the world's population is ill. Mark, could you just turn that down the slightest wee bit? And in other words, what that's saying is, we're a sick lot. With one third of those who are sick, they have five or more chronic or acute illnesses. And even though we're living longer, if you look at, you know, all the health agencies these days and the public health agency, they will all tell us we're all living longer. But we're only living longer to experience more illnesses and sicknesses. And disease, by the way, is not confined just to the elderly. Because 81% of those who were studied and who had more than five ailments were under 65 years old. Now, statistics also suggest that 33%, that's almost one third of the world's population, is Christian. Now, that doesn't mean for a moment that they're born again Christians. They're just Christians because they don't call themselves Jews, or they're just Christians because they don't call themselves Muslims. But one third of the world's population is allegedly Christian. That's a lot of sick Christians, never mind non-Christians. So is the Bible wrong, what I was saying last week, is the Bible wrong about people being healed in the name of Jesus, or about God forgiving all your iniquities and healing all your disease? Well, I don't believe the Bible is wrong, and nor do I believe that Jesus can't forgive and heal those who come to him. I don't make excuses for God about why he grants one person temporary healing. Because listen, see, if you've got some weird disease and God heals you, well, that's not absolutely wonderful. But don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to live forever. You know, not on this earth you're not. You're going to die anyway. So it's only a temporary healing. But I don't make excuses for why God heals one and not another. But God does promise his people, and this is really important. God promises his people there is a world to come where there is no more suffering, sorrow, or death. The world is a broken place. 95% of us may be sick, but 100% of us are sinners needing forgiveness and cleansing. And the only person that we can come to for forgiveness of sin is to God through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. God promises if we come to him by Jesus, doesn't matter what we have done, doesn't matter how evil we think we may be, or evil that we may have committed. God says, he promises, if we come to him by Jesus, he will forgive our sins and he will heal us. Forgiveness is instantaneous. The minute we come to God through Jesus, we are forgiven all of our sins instantly. As for the healing, well, we might have to wait for a while, but it will come, preferably in the world to come. Okay, this evening I'm going to read from Psalm 32. This was a song written by King David to be sung in the temple to contemplate the wonders of God. Psalm 32. It's just after Psalm 31. Blessed is he whose transgression, that's sin, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones grew old. This is David talking about his sin. When he tried to keep his sin in his heart and tried to hide it from God and tried to pretend that he wasn't a sinner. This is what he says. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Some people, you know, they struggle in life through challenges that they're faced with, and they're not realizing that those challenges are God-sent challenges to bring them under conviction of sin and to bring them to that place where they call out to God for forgiveness. But they keep turning away and they keep getting older and groaning under the pressure until they realize what God is doing. David says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. There is forgiveness with God for whoever will come to him seeking that forgiveness. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. See that song we sang, the Ken Dodd song? It was first recorded by an American country musician called Bill Anderson in 1963. But it's probably best known to us as the signature tune of the English comedian Sir Ken Dodd, who died in March last year. Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord. You know, some people think because it says I thank the Lord, it must be a Christian song. Do you remember, Rita, we were at a prayer for prisoners group in your house one night over in Rosemary Avenue, and there was this head bin came along, and they were praying and whatever, and then there was a moment of silence, and we thought, well, we'll see what God does. And the next thing, the headman, Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah. And thought that was a Christian song because it said hallelujah. So this is not a Christian song because Ken Dodd or anybody else sings, I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. To me, this world is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the whole human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul. Sir Ken sang this. To me, the world is a wonderful place. Ken Dodd said it. To me, the world is a wonderful place. And you know, to some degree, he's right. The world can be a wonderful place. But nonetheless, the world is a broken place. And people's pursuit of happiness is just another proof that this world is broken. Now that sounds absolutely bonkers when you hear it like that. But listen again. The world can be a wonderful place, but the world is a broken place. And people's pursuit of happiness is yet another proof of its brokenness. What in this world is happening is people's pursuit of happiness. Now, no doubt this will wind some people up and say, would you listen to that, Buck Egypt? You're not even allowed to be happy now, for crying out loud. Last week he had us worrying and he had us sick to death. All of these things that he's laying upon us. Now he's telling us we're not even allowed to be happy. But that's not what I'm saying. But I know that there's no doubt there'll be some people wound up and they'll think, for crying out loud, how can trying to find happiness in life be a bad thing? How can the pursuit of happiness prove that the world is broken? Well, let me give you, for example, this truth. A lot of people, a lot of unbelievers think that Christians are sad, miserable bunch of people from whom God extracted their sense of humour to enable them to live a dull, monotonous life. And I've seen them type of Christians. Sometimes I feel like that type of Christian myself. I've said it many times. I've seen them outside the Northern Bank, and I've seen them in other places standing, talking about what a joy it is to know Jesus, and the faces on them like Lurgan Spades. And you think, well, if that's the joy, I'll not be having any of that. Thank you very much. Do you seriously think that's what we Christians are like? Is that the impression that we give people? That we are a sad, miserable bunch from whom, when you first become a Christian, God sort of spiritually opens up your head, takes out the sense of humour part of your brain, flicks it to the dump, and you're left as this boring person who lives a dull, monotonous life. But even if Christians get hoodwinked by the brokenness of the world into the pursuit of happiness, it shouldn't surprise us, because Christians are human beings. We get hoodwinked too. 2 weeks ago, I said that the world is full of worriers. Last week, I gave us all something to worry about, because I said that 95% of the world's population is sick. And now this week, I'm telling you, we're a sad lot. Now, if anybody needs to phone their doctor tomorrow and get diazepam, don't be blaming me. Doctor, I'm suffering from depression. I go to Shiloh. This broken world is such a sad place. This is just to prove to you that I know I'm not bonkers when I'm saying this. This broken world is such a sad, sad place that the UN, the United Nations General Assembly, adopted a resolution in 2012 that decreed that the International Day of Happiness would be observed every year on the 20th of March. That's how sad we are. That politicians who are being paid thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pounds, that don't know their backside from their elbow when it comes to politics, sit down and say, what would really make a difference in this world today? I know, let's create an International Day of Happiness. Works every time. I don't know about you, but I felt this charismatic smile growing over my face on the 20th of March. Didn't anybody else feel it? Find yourself wee spring in your step. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Didn't work for me. It was found that actually, this is real, people. Please, Google this and see for yourself. This is making me happy that these people are a bunch of headbins. It was found that this International Happiness Day, or Day of Happiness, it was found, did we hear this, to inspire, to mobilize, and to advance the global happiness movement. You see all these people, you know, the camouflage gear, guns. We're going to advance the global happiness movement. It's bonkers. In 2018, the Day of Happiness theme was share happiness and be a part of something amazing. Isn't that incredible? Share happiness and be a part of something amazing. Well, this year's got better. This year, the theme was happiness together. Share happiness and be a part of something amazing. It obviously didn't work in 2018. Happiness together, happier together. Share happiness and be a part of something amazing. Seriously. These strap lines sound something like you'd read on a very bad Alliance Party election poster. Wouldn't it? Yes, she can. What? She can what? Share happiness. Oh dear, share happiness and be a part of something amazing. Well, what is it you're a part of? The global happiness movement. And guess what that means? If you're not a member of the global happiness movement, what does that mean you are? It means you're a sad kid. It's not true. If you are not a part of it, if you have to be the opposite. Isn't that ridiculous? Hands up anybody in the hall tonight who's a member of the global happiness movement. Not one. What does that tell you about us in Shiloh? Maybe it's right. Maybe we're a sad, miserable bunch from whom God extracted our sense of humor so that we could live dull, monotonous lives. Unbelievable. Listen, I am not, and I emphasize this, I am not against happiness or against people being... Listen, you can line dance all you want in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. We're not the DUP. We're not against happiness. The dictionary definition of happiness is a sense of well-being, a sense of joy, a sense of contentment. But this broken world's idea of happiness is often tainted and marred by sin and what we think is true happiness. The Bible calls the fleeting pleasures of sin. Let me ask, what does happiness mean for you? Is it finding the right partner or getting rid of one? Is it having a family or having a happy family? Maybe for some people happiness is getting the right job. Or about the person that came to Shiloh one night and asked the Lord, please Lord, will you let me win the lottery so that I can make people happy? I write. But maybe for some people, you know, their idea of happiness is winning the Euro Millions. Or maybe just their happiness is partying with friends. What does happiness mean for you? Happiness, a sense of well-being, joy, or contentment. Well, the Word of God gives a different perspective on what true happiness is. In Psalm 32, in verse 1 and 2, it says these words, "Blessed, blessed is he, or blessed is she, whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Now the word here in this psalm, the word blessed here means happy. A happiness that brings well-being, joy and contentment in life. And the really good news from the overall message of God's word is this, that when a person's sins are forgiven, they are completely forgiven. They are cast as far as the east is from the west. They are cast into the sea of forgetfulness so that God will remember them no more. So the knowledge and the experience of sins forgiven is not a fleeting happiness. Now, we could say, well, we don't always think about our sins being forgiven, but whatever we go through in life, the believer, the person who trusts in God knows that whatever challenges in life come our way, when we focus in our position and our condition before a holy God, we know that there is a world to come where there is no more suffering, sickness, or death, where we will be happy forever in the presence of the Lord. And then the gracelets come down from heaven that make us happy even in the midst of the trials that we're facing. That doesn't mean that Christians run around with charismatic smiles on our faces 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean those who trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin never face heartache or heartbreak. It means those who through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone have received forgiveness of sins, they can allow the contentment that that brings to carry them through every circumstance in life and help them to rise above the challenges of life that they face, and they do it all carried in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only, and listen tonight please, only the born again Christian, only the person who trusts in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone can understand what true happiness is. see when you know what it feels like to feel the burden of sin lifted off your shoulders. See when you know when that massive writing of your sin that is before a holy God and all of his judgment is hanging over it, and suddenly it's erased, wiped clean, or suddenly Jesus steps in and stamps on it, paid in full. Only when you have experienced what it is to know sins forgiven can you say, I know what true happiness is. I know what true happiness is. Sometimes I walk through Bangor with a face like a Lurgan spade. Sometimes I walk through thinking to myself, oh, life is terrible. But when you get your eyes fixed again upon Jesus, when you realize, you know what, it doesn't matter what this world does to me. It doesn't matter what people do to me. The worst that people can do is kill me. And you know what? They would just be sending me into the presence of the one that I'm looking forward to meet anyway. Doesn't matter what this world does, what it throws against us. When you know your sins are forgiven, when you know that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, you know what real joy is. You know what real happiness is. You know what well-being is. You know what, even in the midst of heartache, contentment feels like. It means those who, through faith in Jesus, who have received forgiveness of sins, they can allow the contentment that it brings to carry them through every circumstance in life and help them to rise above the challenges of life that they face. Only the born-again Christian, only, please listen, only those who trust in Jesus can understand what true happiness is. The happiness of the world, and let's not pretend there is a happiness out there. People are happily married. People who don't know Jesus happily get about their business. But it's a fleeting happiness. It's subject to mood swings. Our happiness as Christians can be subject to our mood swings. But in reality, it's a sure foundation because Christ has died to pay our debt in full. And that cannot change. Our sins are forgiven before a holy God. The happiness of the world, it may indeed be pleasant, it may indeed be good, and we thank God for it, but it's temporary, it's fleeting, and it's often marred by sin. In pursuit of happiness, people often go seeking it in the wrong places and in the wrong ways. Do you remember the women who went to the tomb of Jesus and they found the stone rolled away, and when they went in, and then two angels appeared and they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? In our language, why are you looking for life in dead places? Why are you looking for life in dead places? People in their pursuit of happiness often go seeking it in the wrong places and in the wrong ways. Broken people in a broken world want to satisfy the deep, deep yearning in their souls for contentment, for true happiness. But I want to say to you that I believe true happiness can only be found in Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, godliness with contentment is great gain. See, the Christian life isn't a dull life. It's not a monotonous life. It's not a boring life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, those who put their trust in God, those who put God first, who with the help of the Holy Spirit seek to live godly Christian lives, they will find contentment, happiness, blessedness in their lives. It won't mean that you will be perfect this side of heaven. But when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you can enjoy true happiness, blessedness, well-being, joy, and contentment even when facing life's most difficult challenges. So I want to say to both tonight, Christian and unbeliever, where are you looking for happiness? Do you seriously think you're going to find it in the world? I remember years ago I was giving my testimony up in Sandy Row. I told this story before. I was giving my testimony up there one night, and when I finished, I saw this woman coming up towards me, and I knew by that woman's face that she had faced challenges in this life. She had had a terrible, terrible life. I could tell by the woman's face, and she walked up to me and she said to me, "Son, never go back to the world." She says, "It's a hurtful, hurtful place." And I knew, that woman knew from experience. And then she just burst into this smile. And she says, "Walk closely with Jesus, and he will keep you in his love." So where are you looking for happiness? Do you think you will find it in the world? Do you think you're going to find it in drink and drugs and all of the things that the world offers you? The fleeting pleasures of this sinful world are exactly that. Fleeting. The world is a broken place, and it cannot satisfy your deepest needs. Your pursuit of true happiness can only find its fulfillment in Jesus. And when you yield your life to the Lord Jesus, when you fix your eyes on Jesus and truly know him as your Savior, then you will know the joy of sins forgiven and the blessedness of acceptance into God's family. You know that I have worked with guys who have murdered during the Troubles and who were tortured by the things that they had carried out in the name of causes. And so overwhelmed, some of them were talking about killing themselves. They couldn't live with the guilt and the shame and the pressures at night. They couldn't sleep at night because of the terrible, terrible horrors that they were going through, of the crimes that they had committed. And when you see some of those people, when they give their life to Jesus, and you watch the change coming over their face and over their life, when they experience the joy of sins forgiven. It is wonderful what God can do. And you know what? You don't have to be a murderer. You don't have to be a tax dodger. You don't have to be a liar. You know, all of these. The Bible says, whatever you are, you're a sinner. But there's forgiveness with God for you if you will simply come to him and ask him. When you come to God for forgiveness, he never breaks his promise. You will receive it, and you will find acceptance into God's family. Then, and only then, can you really sing, "Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. Oh, I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying to pay the price for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your promises that whoever, you don't ask how wicked they've been or how good they think they've been. You say, Lord, whoever comes to me seeking forgiveness will receive it and have everlasting life. And Lord, tonight we want to thank you because many of us here in this hall tonight know exactly what is meant by the joy of the Lord. We know what it is, Lord God, to know the joy of the forgiveness of sins. We know what true happiness really is. Lord, it doesn't mean that we don't face trials and difficulties. It doesn't mean that we don't at times have doubts and fears and that happiness seems to evade us for a while. But when we fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, your contentment, your blessedness floods our souls again. And we can hope again and trust again in you. Tonight we pray, Lord, please that you would forgive us when we pursue happiness from a worldly perspective. Lord, may we lose ourselves in our love for you. May we be overwhelmed by your love for us. The fleeting pleasures of this world's happiness, Lord God, do not satisfy the deepest yearnings of a person's soul. May we all come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. May we all, Lord God, come to experience the happiness, the blessedness of sins forgiven. And may the joy of the Lord fill our hearts and minds. For we ask this, Lord Jesus, in your gracious name. Amen.